Let's talk about immigration. Today, the United States Senate has the first, albeit a really more of a procedural vote on immigration. The president has remarks this morning, and there are a couple of different ways that supporters are going about this. We're going to talk about one of those right now with our guest, Arlene Holland, who's a senior fellow at the Technology Policy Institute and joins us on POTUS. Thank you for being here. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
There is a sort of a two-pronged effort here, it seems to me, on getting this passed. One is an appeal to the, well, it may be three prongs, but one is an appeal to the system is broken. It's not working right. It's necessary to fix it. But the idea is that this is the right thing to do. There's also, for those who may or may not be convinced, or maybe Republicans, for example, who don't care so much about the Latino vote in their particular districts, the idea is there's an economic part of the equation. And I've heard an awful lot being played up on that. Just how big an impact does immigration reform have on the American economy?
Well, it can have a huge impact. It's impossible to say precisely what it would be, but the admission of more particularly high-skilled workers to the U.S. economy is likely to boost innovation and wages and have a strong effect on growth.
Now, one thing you did a study, or there was a study that you have put together for the Technology Policy Institute, proposals considered by Congress to loosen green card and temporary worker constraints for high-skilled workers, would reduce the deficit on the order of $100 billion over 10 years. Now, how would they do that?
They would do that by filling jobs that would otherwise not be filled in high tech industries and jobs. And that would happen in two ways, as I estimated it, by increasing the number of workers who come in under the high-skilled H-1B program, and also by increasing the number of green cards given to these workers. It's actually interesting. I just got back from San Francisco late last night, and on the highway to the airport are huge billboards saying, "Are you, addressed to employers, having H-1B high-skilled immigration problems? Pivot and go to Canada." So
Canada is actually trying to recruit employees.
They are. Canada is trying to recruit, and they are recruiting high-skilled workers. Mm. Very roughly one half of graduates who get advanced degrees in what's called the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, are foreign-born. And right now, many of those people leave the United States because they can't get either temporary or permanent employment here.
Now, a lot of them come to this country for training, right? And they will go to college here for a while.
And then they go to college, they get advanced degrees, and some of those degrees are obviously costing the United States taxpayer and private companies goodly amounts. And then we turn around and export that human capital to foreign countries, and we don't get the advantage of it. So in the absence of legislation that would change that, these provisions, the United States right now has the most, among developed countries, the most restrictive policies in the world against the employment of high-skilled foreign-born.
Now, what is the argument against increasing the numbers of H-1B visas?
Well, H-1B is a bit of a tricky program because it's the temporary. It's for temporary employment of visas that can be extended 1 year at a time up to about 3+ years, but not more than that. And in the H-1B program, workers are actually tied to a particular employer. And some people make the analogy to indentured servants, you know, to the extent they are underpaid or they're not given full worker protection, that is a problem. And as I said, the H-1B is also temporary. Right now it's capped at about $65,000 a year, and the cap, in some years, that has not been met when the economy has been particularly weak. But right now, those quotas do tend to be met very quickly in the year.
Yeah. Now, we're talking a fairly small number of individuals in the context of the huge American economy. We're talking, you say, 65,000. So I guess one of the questions is how much is there that influence, or is that economic impact disproportionate to the numbers of those visas that are issued?
Yeah, well, the impact can be very great. In the proposed legislation, which is what's on the road, I think something that's S-744 is the name of the bill, it would, first of all, increase the number of these H-1Bs from the 65,000 to 115,000 a year, or, depending on economic conditions and labor demand, up to 180,000. But perhaps even a more important part of that bill would be to significantly ease the process of giving what we call green cards or permanent resident legal status to foreign-born who get advanced degrees in what I explained are these STEM fields, the high-tech fields.
Mm-hmm.
They could get permanent residence if they have a job offer. And I don't know how many of them there would be. It's impossible to know that immediately. But it could be very large. So that category of green cards would then become uncapped. The Congressional Budget Office right now is working on a cost estimate of the bill. It's enormously complicated, and I don't know exactly when it's going to be issued, but should be under the next few weeks. And CBO will be making estimates of the effects of this law on immigrant and non-immigrant labor flows, and also on the changes in the U.S. fiscal position as a result of the legislation. That is, the changes in revenues and the changes in automatic spending.
Well, there's a lot of discussion to be taking place. It seems to me the argument is that for some people is that immigration reform is going to mean that more immigrants come in. They're going to take the jobs that Americans would otherwise get. But most of these jobs, as you're saying, at least to these H-1B or the highly skilled jobs, are actually going unfilled at this point.
Yeah, well, many are, and that's why Canada is recruiting here. But there are also perhaps problems, I think, among the unskilled. Actually, I just see that the American Enterprise Institute issued a new report using the Census Bureau's American Community Survey, and that report shows that less skilled immigrants are actually in different jobs than less skilled American workers who were perhaps more in offices, administrative support jobs, but the immigrants take much more physically demanding work. So while not direct evidence on the subject of wages, that's indirect evidence that perhaps there are labor complementarities among all immigrant groups with Americans.
I like that word, complementarities.
Complementarities, yeah.
It's a hot one.
And there are many studies have been done. In the study that I published for the Technology Policy Institute, I review the economic literature on employment and wage effects. And the studies, of course, are not in complete agreement, and some show some negative wage effects. But I'm certainly convinced that the preponderance of evidence, and as I said, particularly for the high skilled, is to have negligible wage effects. And many offsetting positive effects, for example, having more high-skilled workers here is an incentive to greater investment in physical capital and encourages American workers to get, more advanced degrees themselves.
Is there some place where people can see this study online?
Yes, my study is available online at the technology. Let's see, I have the URL right here. I hesitate to read the entire URL; it's very long. But it's look at the website under the Technology Policy Institute, and my study is called "The Budgetary Effects of High-Skilled Immigration Reform," and it was issued in March 2009.
All right, we'll get that link and we'll put it on our website. Okay.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
Arlene, thank you for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure.